Chapter 12. Jake Clifford smiled broadly when he saw Celeste and Angel getting out of Ron's squeakmobile. He walked toward them with an athletic glide in his step. "So this is the lucky guy that has you," he said. He extended his hand to Ron, and they shook. "How's everything, Jake?" said Celeste. "Things are great. I heard from Spaulding, and I think they're going to buy it." Jake grinned and put his head down and shuffled his feet back and forth a little. Celeste turned to Ron with an excited grin on her face. "Jake has an invention, and he's about to become famous for it," she said. "Why don't you and Ron come over later? We can toot some lines." He sized Ron up and asked, "Do you play ping pong?" When school was over, Ron was out the door like a sprinter. His book bag was slung over his shoulder, and he was running south on Summer Avenue towards Bloomfield Avenue. He veered left at Elwood and picked up speed when he got to Lincoln. He ran the length of Lincoln Avenue and right up the stairs into the boys' club. Off to the back of the huge room, under a hanging cloud of smoke, the old men were playing chess. Ron's book bag dangled from his shoulder as he walked over, trying to look inconspicuous. He really wasn't supposed to be there yet. On Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, the club was taken over by the Retired Men's Club, and they played chess and pool and cards until 3 in the afternoon. The chess players were allowed to stay longer, though. They were out of the way and brought their own pieces and plastic chess mats. Ron was always very quiet and careful not to move around. The men were cranky, and usually his presence was more tolerated than accepted. But he loved their smell of pipe smoke and watched the way that they manipulated the pieces. And sometimes, if there was no one else to play, he was allowed to sit in for a game. Some of the men were happy to teach him, and it didn't take Ron long to become a regular at the end of these Tuesday and Thursday sessions. Ron thought they played the game with an elegant flair, and he thought that he knew none of their names. He did have his favorites. He was settled into his second game of watching when he felt a hand on his shoulder. "Ron, can I speak to you for a moment?" It was Danny McCarthy, a short, red-faced man in his 30s who always wore a lanyard and a whistle around his neck. "Sure," said Ron. He got up and walked past the pool table and towards the windows where there were 6 ping-pong tables set up next to each other. They sat on the low window ledge in back of the table and in front of the windows. Danny looked very serious. "Ron, you know there's no gambling here, don't you?" Feeling the heat rise to his face, Ron tried to control his reaction. "Sure, I know. Is it true that you beat Joey Baltieri for so much money playing ping pong that he gave you his bank book?" "I didn't take any of his money," said Ron. "How much did you beat him for, Ron?" "I don't know. I kept saying that I wanted to quit, and he kept wanting to do double or nothing. And he couldn't beat me." "But you know that there is no gambling here. You told me that you knew." "I took $4 in cash, and he owes me another $125, said Ron. The guilt had overtaken him, and he wanted to be rid of it. "Ron, this is wrong. You know that it's wrong. You knew that it was wrong when you did it." "I gave him a spot," said Ron defensively. "But you knew that you could beat him, didn't you?" Ron nodded and hung his head. "And now the boy is so upset that he got sick and wasn't able to go to school today. And finally he told his mother what you had done to him, and she called me." Ron stared out the window. He looked over at the smoky cloud of chess players. He waited for what was going to happen next. "I want you to return his bank book, Ron, and promise me that you'll never do anything like this again." Ron reached down into his book bag where he'd kept the bank book hidden. He fished it out and gave it to Danny without saying anything. director took the book and opened it to look at the balance. He was interested to see how much money Joey had, and he wanted to check to see that Ron hadn't been able to make any withdrawals. "Ron, I want you to tell your parents what happened, and I'm going to take your membership card until one of them comes back with you to get it back." Ron's mind went blank. The words, "Oh shit," formed in his brain. This was going to be bad. This was going to be really bad. He didn't eat much of his dinner. He sat, of course, from George and Marjorie in their third-floor apartment, toying with his food. They seemed to notice that he wasn't eating, and George was shoveling them food in at a rate that did not allow for conversation. "Something happened today," said Ron. George stopped eating, and Marjorie lit a cigarette. "What happened?" she said. "Sometimes at the boys' club we play ping-pong for a dime or a quarter a game," said Ron, trying to ease into it. George and Marjorie exchanged a look that was a mixture of anger and fear. "How much did you lose?" said George. "I didn't lose," said Ron. "I beat this kid for all his money, and he went home and told his mother that he had to give me his bank book. She called the boys' club, and now they won't let me back unless you go down there with me, pick up my membership card." "You're just becoming a hoodlum, aren't you?" said Marjorie. "Is this the way that I raised you? Look, I didn't take all of his money. He kept wanting to play double or nothing, and I kept winning." "Why didn't you just say no and give the boy his money back?" said Marjorie. She began to cry. "Is this what I've raised you to be? Your grandmother would be spinning in her grave." George looked at Ron and gave him a disgusted grimace, and before Ron knew what he did, he said, "Well, at least I won." George's face got very red. Ron knew that they were still paying off George's gambling debts. He knew that George had to work a second job just to keep up on the payments. "You're a bastard," cried Marjorie. "What you need is a good beating," said George. Ron had gone too far to quit now, and he said, "Look, my dad taught me how to gamble. It's not my fault that I did it right." "Let your father go and get your card back," said Marjorie. "I'm sure he'll be very proud of you."